Somebody said, did I get the wrong channel? What was this is supposed to be KTYM? This is supposed to be a Christian podcast with Roberta Flack on there and Donny Hathaway saying, where is the love? That's my question to you. Where is the love? This is Apostle and Prophet Chris Ward. And I'm celebrating my 31st anniversary, okay? And in full-time ministry. And over the last, this is show number 10 right here. If you go back, and you can find us on Spotify, Apple, Pandora, Anchor FM. You can find Apostle Chris Ward, Voice of Dominion. So if you don't, if you're not hearing this live, we're in the KTYM studios taping this, and we, you know, we put on all the podcasts. So you can look for Apostle Chris Ward, Voice of Dominion. You can also go to YouTube and look for Apostle Chris Ward, Voice of Dominion, and find our channel there. And I'm at 9815 South Vermont Avenue every Saturday morning at 9:30. The doors open earlier. There's praise and worship that goes on, but at 9:30, I'm hitting the door, and I'm getting hooked up to the sound system so we can bring some, the song that I have and that will most personify the message that I want to give. And the message has been, for the last year and a half, maybe 2 years, is walking in the supernatural. How do I get to a place where supernatural signs, miracles, and wonders operate? And Donnie and Roberta said, where is the love? If the love of God is not evident, okay, you're not going to walk in the supernatural, because the supernatural is not for you. It's for other people. Now, God will work supernaturally for you because he wants walking poster boys and girls, walking banners of human banners and human vessels, okay? These earthly vessels, if you go back to 1 Corinthians 4, it talks about his glory walking around in human vessels, corruptible bodies. Corruptible means subject to death. Doesn't mean that it's anything wrong with it. It just means that at some point, if Jesus tarry, this body is corruptible. It's going to have to die. And then, but the Bible says that the corruptible will put on incorruption. And I may read that because I'm looking at all that I've gone through in 31 years. It hasn't all been fun. Everything that takes place now, I was thinking about sitting here between shows, thinking about a young man named Ernest that God has called, he's called to be a prophet. His ministry is modeled after Ezra, King, I mean, not King Ezra, but a prophet Ezra. And he's having a situation with his family, with all the love I have and with all the love I've shown him, and I paid him to do stuff for me, and all of this, and his folks know about that. His mother don't want him to touch me with a 10-foot pole. Now, we looked in, let's go back to, we're going to go back to Mark chapter 10, verse 28. And we're not going to read all the way down. We started verse 17. But it says, with persecutions, she persecuted me. She didn't want her son to come to my church. Now, supposedly, they have membership at a church, but she don't go. Dad goes sometime. Okay, unless they have a special program, you know, with Thanksgiving and Christmas and all that, the churches have these special programs because it's about entertainment. It's not about the edification of the people to get the work done. Read verse Mark 10:28 for me, ma'am.
Mark 10:28. Mm-hmm. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world of eternal life. But many...
And in this world.
And in the world. And in the world to come, eternal life. Okay. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first.
So God promises, and the thing that's there, those who trust in the Lord. And God promises you up to 100-fold or greater. But just think about that. Now, there's a teaching that I will teach at some point called the thousandfold return. Okay, thousand is the symbol or symbolizes the glory of God, and thousand symbolizes 1,000 years. You know, this Bible is broken up into 1,000-year periods. Okay, and I could go through that. I don't have time. I'm going through my 31 years that I've been in full-time ministry. But this young man I'm mentoring, once he started coming to the Bible study, okay, and he, through the apostolic anointing that I have, which I went through great suffering to acquire, okay, because I went through every kind of persecution. We went back to the Tabernacle Evangelism when I first went there. He had about 15 elders on staff or men that were supposed to be ministers. Some of them showed up week to week. Some of them were filled with the Spirit. Some of them weren't. Some of them would do the work. Some of them would not. Okay. And then there was a bunch of missionaries there, his mother and all this other stuff. But for the most part, I was persecuted and maligned there. I walked in out of the street. He said, iron sharpens iron. This is what God called you to be. The Holy Spirit confirmed that. And I don't really believe. I think it was only two or three people in that church that loved me. Okay. One was the bishop's mama. One is sitting right here. Okay. And the other one is now my deacon. Okay. Because when I went there, I cleaned up. They didn't own the place, and so they would have weddings and events over there and leave the place a mess. The bathrooms would be a mess. Trash need to go, a big dumpster. Stuff need to be, sometimes the custodian who was supposed to get there before Sunday didn't get there, or if he did, he did a sloppy job. And I couldn't see God's house being sloppy. And I would go in and do all that work and do everything. And they never afforded me an opportunity to preach. And when I was afforded the opportunity to preach, they always pulled the plug on me. They always turned my mic off somewhere in the middle of it. So I was greatly persecuted. They was talking about me because all the other elders had a full-time occupation, and I was free from that. Why? I had gone through that. I was in this acquisition age of receiving this hundredfold at the very beginning. And I'm very stable now after 31 years. I don't have to go anywhere, anytime, preach nothing to nobody. I don't have to take up no offering when I'm there. God has, because of my obedience and the seed that I sowed, 50%, 25 to 50%. At the beginning of the month, I'm giving 25% of everything that comes through my household. And then the remainder of the month, I'm writing seeds. Some of these checks is up to $1,000. Helping people at the direction of the Holy Spirit get the work done. It's primarily going to people who feed the homeless. It's going to evangelistic ministries. It's going to it's going wherever the Holy Spirit tells me to send it. So up to 50% of everything that I had, and one of the dilemmas I have now, I said to the Lord recently, because it promises here, read verse 29 again for me. We're in Mark 10:29.
It says, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters.
Stop right there. Now, I left my house in 91. It was valued at $40,000. Okay. So $40,000. That's a $4 million house, I'm believing, that I could pull from the kingdom as a result of the sacrifice I made. So read that again, verse 29.
Verse 29, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's.
So I left all of that. Read verse 29 now.
Read verse 30?
30, yes.
But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time.
How? That's where I'm at right now. I'm believing God for the hundredfold. I'll take whatever house he gives me right now. Where I'm living at is too small. Okay? The prophet said, I think it's in 1 Kings 7, this place where we live is too straight for us. Okay? And they prayed to Elijah that they could go get another place. And Elijah told them, yeah. Go ahead. And he said, if we go, will you go with us? And the Lord said, yeah, go get your house, Chris. I will go with thee. He has approved it already. I just got to find it. And I got to be patient because 31 years is a long time. I have not really owned my own house in 31 years. Somebody said, well, what's wrong with you? Because I'm not in. When you're giving 50% of your income away, you're not in the world system. You're not trying to take a loan for in California $1 million and pay that thing off. Pay that mortgage payment on that thing would be $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a month. I'm not trying to go that way because this house is changing hands every day for nothing. People is dying. In case you didn't know, there was a pandemic. And now people are stressing and murders and violence is at an all-time high. And there's one thing that's sure. Somebody said, well, this is, you sound kind of morbid. There's one thing for sure. When people die, all that stuff they accumulated, like this rich young ruler that's in Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 30. When you die, you can't take that with you. Somebody got to have it. And if you ain't got no inheritance, no will set up, look out because Chris Ward will come get that $4 million house. I'm coming to get it. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody said, oh, that's terrible. You're coveting another man's stuff. Another man's stuff, he gone. He can't take it with him. You can't shove a $4 million house in the casket. I'm sorry. Somebody said, well, that is terrible. That's worldly thinking. He said I could receive 100-fold. God said it in the word. But he shall receive, Mark 10:30 says, he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last. So the people who died with the $4 million house, the Bible said the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. They wasn't serving God. They was living swell. And I can take you to Luke chapter 16. And maybe I'll go there. First should be last, and the last should be first, so I'm first. I have literally trained hundreds of people to evangelize, and I sit in this studio, say hello.
Hello.
And tell them who you are. What's your name?
My name is Blanche Ward.
What the most prolific evangelist on the face of the earth? I'll stack her up. I wish there was a contest. And somebody said, you shouldn't be, you know what? And so I had somebody tell me, you shouldn't count the souls that get saved. Why not? You don't have any. That's why you're saying that. You got a big goose egg behind your name. Jesus said, go in all the world and preach the gospel to everybody, not just the preachers. So where's your contribution to the kingdom? How do you make God rich? Not by giving him money, because he don't need the money. The money is for the church, the operation of the church. He gets rich when people get saved, when new converts come into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm believing for a $4 million house, but right now, I hate to say it, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And I'm saying, Lord, and he gave me a real estate company and all the software to find these houses. And I'm looking and I'm doing Zoom meetings. I'm training other people to do it. And sometimes you get weary. Talking about the little 17-year-old boy that he got, I had a Bible study in his schools. That takes me back to 1998. Okay, I was at the tabernacle and I endured all of their foolishness. I started a Bible study. The bishop let me have a Tuesday night Bible study because he wasn't teaching on Tuesday night. The building was just sitting there Sunday to Sunday. And he said, well, you can do a Bible study. He knew he had kept me from preaching. And so we started on Tuesday night, and people from the church started coming, and it started growing, and he shut the thing down, locked the doors up. We stand there on a Tuesday night, doors locked up. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, locked up. Locked us out. And I was so embarrassed. I had first-time visitors coming. I had started the evangelism that I learned in the street that I passed on to my sister, the love of my life. I think and she is a gangling of love herself, okay? But we want to get to the place where we have a little, we live and minister in the inner cities. We want out. I want out. I said to the Lord, listen, I hope you're not offended by me saying this. I will serve whoever, whenever, whatever you want me to. I just don't want to live in these neighborhoods anymore. He said, it's done, Chris. I've been waiting for you to ask me. So I asked, and I have already received. But this little boy, we had a Bible study at his school. When I left in 1998, I got there, and I told the Lord, I had been at that church for 7 years, Tabernacle and Evangelism, and the Lord told me, he said, you're going to start your own ministry. So traditional religious thinking is, you got to have a place to have your ministry. It was obvious he wasn't going to let me have my ministry. He wasn't going to share the building with me, even if I was only on Tuesday night at his church, because he locked the Bible study out and scattered the little flock that was gathering. And, you know, when people see that, they see a preacher, he can't even get into the building that he said he wanted to have ministry in. They don't come back. God's people are sometimes very fragile. Okay, and so I had to find my own place, and I started looking for a building and a place to have my Bible study, have my church service. And the Lord said, you don't need a building. I said, why? He said, you're going to teach Bible studies in high schools. And that was in 1996 or 7.
I think it was 7, 97.
97. And I told the bishop, that ended the 7 years that we had been associated with him. And I said to him, God is calling me to start my own ministry. He said, I know. He told me you were going to leave. Okay. And I know he was sad when I left, because the church went haywire after I left there. We started a Bible study in high schools. I said, well, what am I going to teach? You Bible studies in high schools. So for that 96 to 97 to part of, just the beginning of 98, September 98, I was still there as an associate minister, and I was evangelizing, okay, and bringing people to the church and doing what I needed to do. And we were evangelizing in the street, and this young girl came up who had been molested by a Catholic priest or something. And her soul was damaged, and we prayed for her. And she led us to go to Luzinger High School, which is not even in Inglewood. With the church and where I had roamed around was in Inglewood. It was in Lawndale School District, which is another city. And we went down there, and I prayed for her. I don't forget how that happened. One thing led to another, and we met a little Hispanic girl, Catherine. Oh, my God, I loved her.
She didn't come till later on.
Okay, but how do we make that connection there?
You prayed for a young lady that was... You met in the street.
Yeah, and whatever.
And you asked her if she helped start a Bible study. Now, I don't know if she finished it, but we went over there to the high school, and you talked to the people that was in authority, and they said yes.
What? They said yes, and away we went. That one Bible study, we turned that campus upside down. I had crusades and... what is a crusade? Well, we would have the Bible study on a set day. I think it was Tuesday, wasn't it? Wasn't it Tuesday?
I don't remember what day it was.
Or Monday or Tuesday. I know it was near the beginning of the week. And I would teach those kids about love. Where is the love? About faith, about hope, about the sovereignty of God and what God could do with you. And if you use faith, I taught them about faith, and their grades started to go up, and their absences decreased, and their API for the school skyrocketed. And the principal's office was free of students. God brought peace to that place because the principal that was there opened it up, okay? And then the glory of God went on that campus, and we started evangelizing. What I would do is I set up, I got the janitors and got permission to set up barbecues, and we would set up tables. You know, they would have club days and stuff like that whenever they would have tables out, and we would go out there, and I would set up a barbecue behind our table. And the kids would come out, and ain't nothing like a fresh hamburger smoke at 2:30 in the afternoon. You know, the kids, listen, California is the burger capital of the world. There's a burger joint on every corner, if not every other corner, okay, with different names. You got mom and pop bag burger joints, and they do Spanish food. They do some of the places, do some of the best burritos you ever laid your lips on. Okay, all this stuff, Taco Bell, Schmacko Bell. Okay, I don't go there. I find me a good mom and pop place and know how to make a real good burrito. Beans and cheese. And anyway, back on the farm. And those kids would say, well, listen, how much you want for a hamburger? I only got 50 cents. I said, listen, the hamburger's free. Well, what do I got to do? I said, just sit down at the table. And I'd have a group of ministers there, and they would lead them kids to the Lord. And we would
the
pass.
Students were the ministers that was leading them.
Yeah, they were.
The students that came to the Bible study.
The students that came to the Bible study. But we also had some ministers there. John was there, yes.
Oh, yeah, John came. Yeah.
Yeah, John was there. We had some other ministers that were there, some other grown folks. And then we had, and then we give them a big hamburger and And we loved them up, and the Bible study grew to, at one point, what, about 30 people?
One time it was more than that, because we were, when it first started, it was way more than that, because we were like in some kind of room, and it expanded it to two classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we first got, it was just, they were just
power,
coming.
Straight power. Coming. And then, I think, in hindsight being 50-50, that was the happiest time I ever had in ministry, because I was working with some people who were too young and too dumb to know that this was the right thing for them to do. And they didn't have the pressures of the world about where am I going to live.
Oh, yes, they did.
Well, they did because the families, but I'm saying they didn't have to. They were freer then than they are now. That's for sure.
Well, yeah, of course, but I'm just.
But I'm saying they didn't have the pressures of being grown. You understand what I'm saying? They didn't have to pay the rent every month. Okay? They didn't have to pay the gas bill. Because they didn't have no income. They were students, okay? They didn't have to worry about that. And I think that was in a real sense to catch them. And some of them have gone into full-time ministry. The thing about having Bible studies in schools is they grow up and they leave. And we had some of them Bible study students went all over the country. And I tried to stay in touch with them, but I didn't really have a follow-up program like I should have. But God is good. I learned. You live and you learn. So I went into my own ministry, and I taught there in 1998, I started teaching, man. And what, name some of the other places that we taught in. What was the first church that we taught in? Well, I was doing services that were not in.
First, you were there. You taught the students, and you taught them about faith, and you taught them how to evangelize.
Right.
And then we had about 14, 15 students that would go out every week to evangelize.
Every Saturday morning.
To evangelize.
Mm-hmm.
Then.
What was the first non-school building church that I preached in besides the Tabernacle where we started? We had some other places. Where were they? Do you recall?
No, I don't.
Don't you recall the school over there on Manchester?
You said non-school.
Yeah, but that was not in the school building. That was in an auxiliary building of the school. The school owned the building, but they didn't have no classes in that area back there where that parking lot was at. Remember we taught in there for a long time?
What school was that?
That's the one on Manchester.
No, I said what school?
Manchester West. I don't know what the name of the school. It's changed. The name has changed. It was a charter school.
Oh, that building, but that came way after the kids.
Well, yeah, that's
after
what I'm saying.
After the students, that was way after.
I was trying to figure out, you know, I'm trying to put this 31 years together. You've been there for almost 30 of it, so, you know.
Well, from Luzinger, you went to Inglewood
High School.
Yeah.
Met Alex, who's my.
No, before you went to Inglewood High School, you were a Crozier.
Crozier
Middle School, then Inglewood High School, then Daniel Freeman Elementary.
We had Bible studies everywhere. At one time, I had almost 10 Bible studies up when I was teaching them. Yeah, but anyway, go ahead. So, but the first non-school, when I say non-school, not inside the mainframe of a school where the principal assigned me a place where the head of that building was not a principal mm-hmm. in a high school mm-hmm. district. Mm-hmm. That was the place over there in Manchester and West.
Mm-hmm.
Was it West? Let's see, Manchester.
It's Manchester. So it was on Manchester.
Manchester. What's this? That country street. Anyway, we getting off the. We off the path and we up on the sidewalk now. But it's a great thing for me to give you these testimonies because we got the first Bible study we had at Luzinger. The principal changed. She put us out. The superintendent found out what happened. That principal got beat up and fired, and they brought another principal in. So we were constantly at the mercy of principals who could either see the vision or not see the vision. And about, you know, when we look at Matthew 10:29, it says, and persecutions will come. If you're really doing the gospel, persecutions will come. And I thank you, Lord. I'm ready for my reward now. I'm ready for my hundredfold. I also, listen, people don't have to like me. And I got passed and delivered the thing where I got to have a bunch of 100,000 people to come so I can take an offering and not. God has made me stable. And let's go to, what scripture we want to go to? Golly, did we give a scripture? I think so.
Yeah, you were in Mark. 10.
I'm just rambling. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And so it's not always fun. It's always, you always have joy and peace, but the fun and love and happiness, sometimes you have love, but it's, you know, even if you married or you got kids, you know, you ain't always happy with your kids. You ain't always happy with your wife. You ain't always happy. If you got a job, you ain't always. You might have went to school for to get masters and doctorates and all that and get the job of your dreams. And it's in this world system. And you know you ain't always happy there. Hello? Because you begin to see the shortcomings of the system. And we're going to 2 Corinthians 11. And read verse 1 for me.
2 Corinthians 11, 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Verse 2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to chaste virgin to Christ. Verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Verse 4, for he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him.
Go down to, what verse are you at?
I'm going to 5, 2 Corinthians 11.
Go to verse 10.
As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them that desire occasion, and that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we.
Okay, go ahead.
For much are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ.
Now stop right there. Oh, shucks. Okay, we're at the end of the show. Go ahead and make the altar call. Y'all come back. We're going to be doing these shows forever. Go ahead.
Romans 10:9-10 says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ died for you, we will be saved. Will you please say this right quick with me? Dear God, forgive me for my sins. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus, come into my heart, live inside of me, be Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, show me my purpose. Amen.
Amen. This is the Apostle and Prophet Chris Ward. We love you with the love of the Lord. Forgive me for rambling a little bit, but there's a lot of, in this, all of these shows over the next, we've done 10 now. Okay, we got two more to do today. But it might go on for the rest of the year because I'm recounting this. I'm going to write my next book. It'll be From the Belly of the Whale. This is Apostle and Prophet Chris Ward. We love you. Don't leave me hanging on the promises. You've got to let me.